Amen. As we said, it was just got here from Dallas. It was a lot of traffic, and bring you greetings from Sojourn Church, where I have been serving for almost 20 years now, and I'm just excited about what God has for you. I mean, excited about the Christmas season. You guys excited about the Christmas season? I think Christmas is one of my favorite times of the year. Just exciting. I remember, you know, now it's a little different. My kids are older, but when they were younger, we'd get them stuff. I remember buying them stuff and being so excited to give them the gift. And they wouldn't be interested in the gift. They'd be interested in the box. Anybody remember? They want to play with the box instead of play with the gift that we gave them. So we'd just be like, why don't we just do that for the rest of their lives? Just buy them boxes and they can just do that. But I'm excited about the Christmas season. And here's one of the things that I like to do at the end of the year. I really enjoy trying to wind down, but at the same time, try to hear what God is saying for the next year. What is he saying, in strategizing? I like to strategize, and usually we're out of town for Christmas, but this year we decided to stay home and really try to strategize, believe what God is saying. What am I hearing? And that's something that you probably need to get into practice. When it's time to, for the next season that God has for you, begin to put your ear to the ground and ask the Lord, Lord, what are you saying in this next season for me? What is it that you want to do in and through me so that I can do what you've called me to do and be? It's not about going through life and just hoping. I know that's a saying. Like, well, how you doing? Well, I'm just trying to make it. But really try to be strategic in what God is saying so that you can not only be ready, but you can be effective for the kingdom of God. Amen. We want to be effective for the kingdom of God because the Bible says that the kingdom of God is increasing. It's increasing. It's moving. Matter of fact, the Bible says that of the increase of his government, of his rule and his reign, there will be no end, right? And the Bible says that the zeal of the Lord will perform this. And so if we are going to advance the kingdom of God in this season, in this time, in this place, then we're going to have to let the kingdom of God expand on the inside of us, right? It's one thing to have to say, yes, Lord, the kingdom of God is expanding. But how is it expanding? How is it expanding in you? Are you letting it expand in your spirit? Are you letting the kingdom of God expand in your mind, in your thinking, in the place where where your sphere of influence is? Are you letting the spirit of God and who he is and his kingdom expand in the area and territory that God has given you? That is important because if we're going to advance the kingdom, because there's a lot of things that are going on right now. Would you agree? There's fear that's trying to come over the nation. There is all kind of, if you look at the news, there's all kind of things that are going on. People seem like, my grandpa used to say, he's like, man, people done lost their mind, all right? And people just gone crazy. He would say that all the time. Have you seen this on the news? Like, what, grandpa? He's like, man, people done lost their mind. It seemed like he was saying that every day. And now it seemed like it's more so. People are being fearful. In Texas, there are more guns being bought per day than anywhere. Somebody's like, that's the thing. What do you feel like we need to do? Go buy a gun. So that's what everybody's doing in Texas. I don't know what we're doing. Arkansas already had all the guns. I don't know. Texas just a little late. Arkansas already had them. But there's fear in the nation. There's terrorism that's going on. And people are trying to say, what is it? I don't believe that it's time for the church to shriek back during this time. I believe that this is one of the finest hours of the church. If the church would rise up and take her rightful place in the kingdom of God, I believe that God is going to do something extraordinary through us. It's going to take some people, though, who will stand up in their time and realize what God is doing on the inside of them. Those that would get quiet, if you will, those that would get in their closet, those that would get into a place of solitude under the shadow of his wings, under the Almighty, and hear what the Spirit of God is saying. The Bible says, he who has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. So it's time for us to be able to do that. And so it's been a year, as I reflected upon the year, it's been a year of ups and downs. For us, people, there's been some high moments at our church, been some high moments in our family. There's been some lows. We've had some lows. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust, right? It doesn't matter where you are. You can build your house on the rock, like the Bible says, and you can build your house on the sand, like the Bible says, but the rain and the storms are still going to come, right? It's still going to come because the rain and the storm comes on both houses. And where you got to understand is where have you built your house on in the midst of the storm? So we've had some highs. We've had some lows. We've had some people, some of my best, some of my good friends that I went to school with, have fallen. We've had some of our, some of the people that we've known, that I've had to tell a parent who, a 19-year-old who tried drugs for the first time and died. I had to go to the hospital and inform the parent of that. And there was some people that I know that just ended up in prison. And there's just all kind of stuff that's going on. And there's some people that came to the Lord this year that we're excited about. Some people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've seen some incredible things, but we've seen some highs and we've seen some lows. And so I wanted to find out what would cause us in this next season to walk in the victory that God would have us to walk in. Anybody want to walk in victory? Because sometimes it seems like a lot of people that go to church and people that are just attending church, sometimes it seems like they're going through the motions, and sometimes Christians seem like they're the most defeated people on the face of the earth, right? They come to church, we sing some good songs. We can come up with some good songs, we listen to a good message, but all the while go back into a system of things that would be like going through the motions. Hate to go to work in the morning, I'm just trying to get through, but I believe that God has called us to be victorious. Does that word mean anything to you tonight? Victorious. How am I going to be victorious? This is a church, Victory Church. Am I right with Victory Church? How do we become victorious in the things that God's called us to do? If we're going to go to the Victory Church, how about we walk and be victory people? Amen. If we're going to attend church, the Victory Church, how about something on the inside of us rises up and call us to be victorious people? I'm tired of walking with and being around Christians that don't have any joy. I'm tired of being around people who don't know how to worship the Lord, singing the good songs and singing the hymns, but then all of a sudden every time the enemy says boo, they go run and hide and they're not living a victorious life. Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? Maybe you don't want to raise your hand because you're one of them, but just wink at me. You just wink at me. You don't want to say nothing tonight. That's right. You don't have to. Just wink at me. Be like, I know some people like that. And I'm saying that there's got to be a transition in the heart of God's people where we step out of this fearful state and step into a place of victory that God has called us to. And how do we do that? And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that tonight. I'm not going to hold you long because I know that you've had a long day, but I do want to impart something into you tonight. And so some of the people that I've asked, the thing that was going through their minds and how did they fall into this state of fearfulness or get to a place where they've fallen. And I've talked to the people who are living victorious and doing some things that feel like they're being effective in the kingdom. And every single person that I've talked to, whether I've talked to them in prison, where I've talked to them before they're on their deathbed, if I've talked to them where they're having issues and problems, the one thing that keeps coming up more than anything else as I've had this conversation is their thought life. More than anything, the ones that are having trouble and issues and things that are going on, they're saying it started with my thought life. It started with the thoughts that are going on in my head. From the time I wake up in the morning to the time I've gone to bed, there are thoughts that are going through my mind. There are things that are going at the enemy. There's some thoughts are good thoughts, some thoughts are bad thoughts. But the ones who are victorious are the ones who can control the thoughts that are going through their mind. Stop the traffic jam. In Dallas, we have traffic all the time. Every time I go somewhere, there seems to be traffic. Somebody honking horn over here. Somebody hit somebody over here. Somebody throwing rocks, road rage, all stuff going on. Just traffic all the time. I remember the first time my father came to Dallas, and we were going on I-35, and there was a bunch of traffic, and my dad said these words. He goes, where are all these people going? Where in the world are all these people going? There sure is a lot of people on the road. And I said, they're going to work. Some of them going to school. Some are just a lot of people just going through, always going somewhere, hustle and bustle, just going somewhere. He's like, well, they got to be going. Well, I'm going and going. And so the truth of the matter is that's kind of like our mind. Amen. If you would understand the traffic jam that goes on in our mind, there's all these thoughts that are going through our mind all the time. The person who can control those thoughts that the enemy tries to put in there, because the Bible tells us what to think and whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are a good report. He says what? Think on those things. Amen. And so those people that are not being able to, we used to sing a song when I was growing up in the old church, and we didn't have no piano. We didn't have no drummer. We didn't have no flute player, guitar player. But there's the old saints would sit there and they'd beat their feet up against the wooden floor, and they would sing a song called, I woke up this morning with my mind. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind. Stayed on Jesus. And so they would sing that song. I thought it was a lame song when I was a kid. I was like, man, they can't come up with any other song other than that. Seemed like they would come up with some songs that had a beat to it, you know. Let me get up and beatbox or something. I just let me get up and do something so that they could stop singing that song. But then as I got older, I realized the only reason why they were singing that song is because if they wanted to be victorious in what God had for them, they had to wake up in the morning with their mind on Jesus. They had to wake up in the morning with their mind stayed upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because the Bible says that he will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. And because their mind is stayed on him, it doesn't matter what kind of thoughts the enemy tries to throw at them, whatever thoughts of the day, if their mind was stayed upon Jesus, they could be victorious throughout the day. And so that's why they sang that song. When I was little, I didn't care. I just let whatever thoughts came to mind. I even said some of the thoughts that come to my mind. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just say the first thing that come to your mind. After a couple of slaps by my mom, I realized you can't say everything that come into your mind. You have to say, I'm probably not going to say that now. You know what I'm saying? You start to get a little wise, amen, or learn how to duck one of them. You got to walk in wisdom. And so, and it's the people who can control the thought life, because the enemy, the Bible says, come to steal, kill, and to destroy. He comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. He's coming to take your thought life. He's trying to take you captive. He's trying to put you in depression, oppression, and living in life of sin, and living in life of those besetting sin. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things. And the enemy comes in and tries to capture you and get you confounded and imprisoned in your mind. But the Bible says that it was for freedom that Christ has brought, he set us free. And if you are going to walk and live in a life of freedom, you're going to have to free your mind. You're going to have to live and think the thoughts. The Bible says that I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith God. They're thoughts to give you a hope and a future. Amen. And if we know the thoughts, I begin to say this and declare this over my mind during the day. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. Say it with me. I have the mind of Christ. So if I have the mind of Christ, then I must realize that I can think the thoughts that God thinks. Well, no, Pastor Chris, you can't do that, because the Bible says that his thoughts are way above our thoughts and his ways are high above our ways. Stop being religious. The truth is are you... Just to be honest with you, I can't think his thoughts. If Jesus lives on the inside of me, then I'm able to think his thoughts. They come out of me. I'm able to speak his word. I'm able to speak his mind, because the very one who has put them and let this mind be in him that was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. If I'm able to do that, then I'm able to walk in the victory that God has for me. I just finished a semester of school at the King's University at Gateway, and we had finals. And I'm the oldest guy in the class. I understand. There's a bunch of 18-year-olds in there, and they just laugh at me because I'm the oldest guy in the class. One of the classes that I was taking was called English Composition in Ministry. And so we were dissecting and looking at Dr. King's speech. And then all of a sudden, one of the kids said, "Hey, teacher, Miss Rita, we don't have to listen to the speech." I'm pretty sure Chris was there at the speech. You know, they were trying to make fun of me because they... And so they have a bunch of zeal. They have a bunch of, you know, they're excited about being in school. I've been in school, but I'm going back. I'm the oldest guy in there. And so one of the questions that we had to present to the class was, why would, if you built a church from scratch, why would somebody want to come to your church and stay? Well, the young people got up and they were excited about their presentation. They said, people would want to stay at our churches because we would be friendly and we would reach out to everybody and we would make them feel at home. Another person got up and said, we would make sure that all the lights and the flashing and all that stuff was going up. And so quickly it got to me, and I walked up there slow because I wanted them to hear what I was about to say. I asked the Holy Spirit what I was going to say, because I want an A in the class. And they said, why would anybody stay? Come on, tell us, why would anybody stay at your church? I said, simply because my church would have the presence of Almighty God there. Because if we come to my church, you can have all the lights and cameras and the flashing, and you can hug people and give them high five and do all that stuff. But if you ain't got the presence of God on the inside of your church, you might as well shut the doors. And with that, I dropped the mic and went back to my seat. And I made an A on that, and that deal. Because the truth of the matter is, it's just right in that moment, you don't necessarily have to worry about what to say, but let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Because you got to control your thoughts. Amen. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's a familiar passage. Are you getting anything out of this? Even if you're not getting anything out of it, I am. I like preaching to myself. If y'all ain't gonna get nothing out of it, I will. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is Paul speaking. And so you know this, that when he's talking, we're going to talk about thoughts. You've heard this scripture before. 10 verse 1. Now I, Paul myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in the presence I am, base among you, being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm in present, with the confidence wherein which us think and walk according to the flesh. Now, can I just tell you something? You are not going to be victorious if you're going to walk in the flesh. Can I just say that? People who are wanting to do anything and everything that comes, you are not going to be victorious. Verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We're going to get back to that verse in a minute. Verse 5 says, casting down. Everybody say casting down. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every what? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now here's, let me get back to when it was talked about, verse 4. It said, pulling down strongholds. Now, a stronghold is a thought that you would have that would say to you that this is never going to change. Anytime you think of something and you look at a situation and you think it's never going to change, it's always going to be like this. Like, say, for instance, your marriage. You look over at him, it's like, he ain't never going to change. He going to always be this way. Or you look over at your money situation and be like, I'm always going to be broke. Every time I blow in my wallet, dust come out, and that's the only thing that's in there. Or when you look at your kids and be like, they always going to be this way, and they ain't never going to change. I'm just going to have to beat them till they get out of the house, and they're never going to be. If you say those things, then you have a stronghold, and so you got to pull those things down. A stronghold in your mind that the enemy has put there, that this is never going to change. I have had some strongholds in my mind, and those things, somebody be like, we just pull them down. It's easier said than done. Because if you've been thinking that something is not going to change for a long time, so all of a sudden you're going to be like, it's going to change today, you're going to have a hard time pulling those thoughts down, because it's a hard. Now, when I used to work in construction, when I was in Dallas, I worked for a man named Steve Doolin, who's in construction. And I was fresh, and I didn't know what to do, but he was just like, hey, this wall right here, this wall has got to come down. You're going to demo this wall. What do you mean? He goes, get a sludge hammer. Get a crowbar and tear this wall down. I was like, man, you gotta pay me to tear a wall down? That's easy. So I got the sledgehammer and I swung at it one time, and the sledgehammer stuck in the wall. And I pulled it out, and I'd be like, wow, okay. So I did it again. And man, I didn't even make a dent. And it was like 2 hours later, I'm still swinging at that thing. Why? Because it's just like that wall has been structured to stand there. That stronghold that you've been believing in your mind has been there for a long time. And it's going to take some time for it to come down. But God, who is rich in mercy, is able to I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, will enable you to pull that wall down. Whatever thoughts it is, you have to declare those thoughts in your mind on a daily basis. My marriage is who God says that it is. My finances. There's some things that are going to have to change in your mind to be able to pull those strongholds down. Anything that exalts itself against what you know to be true about God has got to come down. That's why I believe that a lot of people walk around with labels on them, on themselves, because somebody told them that this is who they were, that they're not smart enough, they're not good enough to get the promotion. Somebody else should get it besides you, because you don't have what it takes, and all these things. And so we start wearing these labels that God didn't put on us, and therefore we walk around defeated. We wear these labels. We put them on. You know, when we have guests at our church, we put the thing on. It says, "Hello, my name is." And when people in church walk around now, they say, "Hello, my name is depression. Hello, my name is downtrodden. Hello, my name is I can't never change." It's a long name, but anyway, some people wear those names. "My name is my marriage is bad. My name is broke. My name is broke. My middle name is broke." People say that. My middle name, not my first, middle, and last name is just broke, broke, broke. Every time I turn around. And so people say they walk around with these labels on them, and they wear them, and they think that's who they are. Then all of a sudden you wear the label so long that it absolutely becomes your identity. It becomes your identity. This is who you are. It's just like if the officer says for you to see your license, you pull it out, and that's who you are. But many of you don't understand is when you wear those labels, because Jesus is on the inside of you, you have changed. And the Bible says, "Behold, all things have become new. The old has passed away." And it's time for us to step in what God has called us to step in. Do you know in Dallas, if you don't change your address that's on your license in 30 days after you move, do you realize that you can get a ticket? Do you realize that? Do you know why? Because it is illegal for you to have an identity, to have an identity of somewhere that you have moved from and you're living in a new place. It is illegal for you to continue to have these labels on the inside of you when you moved from one place to another. The Bible says that He's moved us out of darkness and into the kingdom of light. And because we moved out of that darkness and into the light, our address has to change and our ID has to change, because we are who God says we are, not who the world says we are, not what everybody else says we are, but we step into a place where God says that I am who He says I am, and I can do what He says I can do in Jesus' name. I'm the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. I'm blessing the city, blessing the country. Even when I lay down and snore, I'm blessed, because God has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, and He seated me in heavenly places. Do you hear what I'm telling you? So it's time for the labels to come off and you to believe what God says about you instead of what everybody else is saying about you. Stop crying at work all the time because you feel sorry for yourself. Stop being a victim, but become a victor in Christ because of what He's already done on the inside of your life. Controlling your thoughts. Every high thing, every thought that comes up against what you know to be true about God. What does the Bible say about my Father? He's a good Father. Amen. He's a wonderful Father. The Bible says that I'm evil and I know how to give good gifts to my children. And I think I'm pretty good at it. I think I give pretty good gifts to my kids. I like to blow their minds. I like to be El Shaddad and try to get them stuff. You know, I try to be pretty good at it. Hey, just try to blow their mind. But the Bible says I'm evil. How much more does your Heavenly Father? Do you hear what I'm telling you? He's a good Father. He's a great, but I remember when I was a kid and I would ask my daddy for $5, man, you thought I was asking him for the deed to the house. Like, "Dad, can I have $5? I can't see $5. You mean all five? You want all five? Yeah, Dad, I just need, can I get, you know, I act like I was a bum on the street. Can I hold $5, Dad? You know, can I get $5? It was just hard to do. And my dad he's a good dad. And so how much more? And he didn't give me everything I wanted, obviously, because he was a good dad. He gave me instruction, prayed for me, still prays for me every morning. I can call him anytime, be like, "Dad, will you pray for me? Because I'm about to beat some people. I need you to pray for me. I'm about to lose my religion over this." And so he'll pray for me. Whatever issues I got, he's a good father. You need to know that anything that the enemy tries to put in your mind against your Father God that you know is not true, you have got to reach in there and pull those things down. Every thought, every one of them. Nah, I mean, you can miss one because you let that traffic through and it won't stop. Once you let the traffic through, it won't stop. You got to have, when we have events and stuff, there's a policeman out there that says, stop, stop. I said, stop. You are not allowed in this area. You need to back up and turn your car around because I'm not going to allow this kind of thing in this area. I'm in charge. I have authority to stop that traffic right there. Stop. And if you don't stop, I'm going to pull my taser out and then we're going to have some other issues. Stop. You have the authority to stop that traffic that comes into your mind. Well, I just can't help stop thinking about it. Well, you know, you can't stop help thinking about it because Jesus has put the power on the inside of you to be able to do that. Amen. Are you hearing this? I want to impart this into you tonight. It says the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5 says casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself. Casting down. Casting down means to literally what? If you look it up in the Greek and the Hebrew, it means to casting down. It means to literally throw it down because it doesn't have a place in your mind. You don't let it go up and build an altar in your mind. You don't let it build and take root and residence in your home. You got to evict those thoughts that come into your mind. Say, those thoughts have no place in my mind. I know they're not supposed to be there. So enemy, I know that's you. And those things ought to be cast down in Jesus' name. And it says, bringing every thought into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. How many know that sometimes one of the reasons why we are defeated is because we're not walking in obedience to what God has called us to do? It's one thing to have a thought and be like, oh, Lord, that was a good thought. But it's another thing for you to obey what he's told you to do. That's why there's a manual that we teach in our church called Hear and Obey. Because a lot of people have heard, but then they're not obeying and then wondering why God's not speaking to me. I don't know why he ain't speaking to me. Listen, God's always speaking. Have you obeyed the last thing that he's told you to do? Obedience is important. Amen. And my mom used to say this. We were like, Mama, I did obey. She was like, slow obedience is disobedience. Like, let me look that up. I don't know if that's in here. I think you're making that up. Anyway, I'm just telling you, it's imperative that you obey what God is telling you to be. Trust, hear, and obey what God is saying for you to do. That's one of the reasons, one of the things that you could start. Go to Romans chapter 12. I'm almost done. Romans. And those people, as I'm talking to you, the people that I've talked to that are having the issues in their mind, because I wanted to do something with our students and talk to them about what is it, their thought process? How do you get to a place where you are not taking control of these thoughts that the enemy puts in your mind? They go, it starts off as something small. And I find myself doing something I said I would never do. I would never do that. I'm not ever going to do that. But then find myself doing it simply because they're not taking thoughts captive in their mind. And it is the battle place. You know, you realize that the mind is the battle place of everyday life. It is the front line of battles. It is the place where the enemy is not going to pick your arm up and help and make you do stuff. He's going to cause the thought to develop in your mind. And if you don't have an understanding, and the Bible says that his sheep know his voice and the stranger, they will not follow. If you have not developed a place in your mind where you understand that's the voice of God, this is what I know that God's saying because of this voice. How do you know that you've heard from God? Because it lines up with his word. And God is not going to contradict his word. So when I hear these thoughts that come through my mind, it lines up with the word. And so therefore, I understand. Now, that's a thought that didn't come from God. The Bible says that fear doesn't come from the Lord. If it's fear, you automatically know it's not the Lord. Fear doesn't come from the Lord. For God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. You know that. And so therefore, fear's got to go because of what, and it comes in your mind, whatever. And I'm not talking about being afraid just because of terrorism or anything like that. I'm talking about being afraid to step out of your comfort zone. Fear of failing, fear of success, fear of moving forward, fear of stepping out of the boat, fear of whatever it is that the enemy tries to put fear, whatever it is, you know that that doesn't come from God. So therefore, that's something to take captive. Amen. You've heard the scripture before, Romans 12. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And here's something that we got to understand. Verse 2. And be not what? Be not conformed into this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? The word renewing means to make new again. To make new again, to renew your mind, make new again. How do I make my mind new again? Because when we were born into this world of sin, our mind has not been renewed, but we renew our mind by the word of God. Every time I come up against or talk to Christians who are living a defeated life, I can tell that they are not in the word. They're not living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. They're not living, I'm just going through life. I don't know what's going on. I try to teach my kids, like, when you know that the enemy's come against you, what do you say to him? Give me something that you say to the enemy. They'd be like, stop. They're like, that doesn't work very good. That doesn't work very good. When I'm telling you guys, it's like, why did the enemy, didn't I talk to them when they were little? They know the word, some of the word now, but when they little, be like, what do you say to them? I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. I just did it. Like, why did you not understand that you can't do that? They'd be like, I don't know. It seemed good at the time. You know, stabbing your brother has never seemed good at the time. I don't know why I slapped him. I just stuck my hand in there. I'm like, come on. Did you not think so? I'm talking to him. What did you think? I just thought it would sound good. You know, I'm just like, listen, the thought process, even as adults, there has to be a procession, a progress of thoughts of what the enemy, how did I get to this place? How did I end up here at this place? Track my thoughts. Hey, listen, this is where I got messed up. Something happened here and I'm trying to be conformed to the world. But what I really need to be doing is being transformed by the renewing of my mind and saying and speaking over myself what scripture says. And that is how I'm going to overcome. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present yourselves. I want to present myself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. And then I don't want to be conformed to this world. Can I just tell you that God is not interested in you being conformed into this world? He's not interested in you being comfortable. Well, I just love my life. It's so comfortable and cushy. You know, it was a preacher said not too long ago, said, if you're going one way and you're not running into the devil, you're going the wrong way. You're running the same way he is. Honk, honk. Hey, devil, what are you doing over here? I'm going the same way you are. You want to ride? Yeah, I hop in with you. And so that's why people end up just how it is, how they end up. I don't know how I got here. How you end up in the car with the devil? I don't know how I got in there. So he says he's not interested in you being comfortable, but he is interested in you being conformed into the image of his son. Not comfortable, but conformed into the image of his son. How am I going to do that? That means that anything that is in my life that is not the thoughts that God is thinking in and through me, these are thoughts that I have to cast down and live the life that God's called me to live. It has to be founded on the word of God. Am I living what the word of God is saying in my life? Or am I just living life? Am I just going to church and just going through the motions? Am I being transformed because of what God has said about me? Amen. Conformed to the image of his son. The rest of it says, be not conformed, be transformed by renewing your mind that you may prove that which is good. Everybody say good and acceptable and perfect. Will of God. In order for that to happen, your mind is going to have to be renewed on a daily basis. You find me somebody who is basically living a life that is like trouble all the time and the issues, and ask that person, are they in the word on a daily basis? And I'm not talking about works. I'm not talking about how you got to do this. I'm telling you, these are basic principles for living the life that God has called us to live. You trying to put their works on me and said, I got to read my Bible. Hey, it's a good idea. Okay. You can say works all you want to, but you need to be in the word in order for you to know what the word says about you. How are you going to know what the word says about you if you're not in the word? How are you going to know what to pray if you're not in praying scripture? Somebody's like, I don't even know what to pray. Hey, you know what? If you wake up in the morning and don't know what to pray, probably open your Bible and pray some scripture over yourself. I'm pretty sure you can't miss with that. You know, Like, I don't even know how to pray. Why don't you just open up and read, go to Ephesians. There you go. Go to Ephesians. That's some good prayers in Ephesians. And my kids are like, Daddy, how do I pray? Go to that one in Ephesians chapter 6 about obeying your parents. Why don't you start there in that one right there. Read that one over and over again over yourself. And then put the Bible on your head and turn around 3 times. You know, say, do something to try to help you to get what is in God is trying to say to you. I'm just kidding. Don't really do that. But I'm just saying, there's a point where the Word of God has to be the thing that you stand on more than anything else, because the world is going to try to tell you to do things and try to manipulate you and try to keep you down and try to keep you from the promises of God. And you're going to have to be able to stand, therefore, having done all to stand, therefore, with your loins girt about with truth. And that truth is not just a thing, it's a person, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The truth is God's word will combat those thoughts that come in your life. Stop the traffic that the enemy tries to come in and bring in your life. And I'm telling you, that's a recipe for victorious living in Christ. Why don't you stand? I'm going to pray for you. Did you get anything out of that? That's been something that's been stirring in me. I'm going to preach that all year long. But I have to, because I want people to understand that victory for believers is not an option in this day and age. It's not an option. We are victorious because Jesus has already won the victory. But in order for us to be able to continue to walk the victory that God has for us to be the Victory Church, and I just come to Victory Church, you're going to need to control your thoughts. And you're going to need to think the thoughts that God has and saying over you. Amen. Why don't you lift your hands, even right now? Because this is where I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to pray that whatever labels the enemy has tried to put on you in this year, whatever it is, whether it's about your finances, whether it's about your marriage, whether it's about your work, whether it's about relationships, and there's been things that you might have said over yourself that is not true concerning what God has said about you, I pray that you would rip off every label right now in Jesus' name. Every label that is not true, what God is saying over you, every label, everything that you have even said about yourself that is not true about what God is saying over you, rip it off right now in Jesus' name. And I'll speak over myself, over my life, what God is saying about me, that I am blessed beyond all measure, that he's opened up windows of heaven and poured out blessings upon me that I don't even have room enough to receive, that he's blessed my children, my offspring, he's blessed my job, the fruit of my hands, when I put my hand to the plow, he's blessed it, he's blessed me going and coming, wherever I am, I'm blessed because of what God has done in my life. And so, Lord, I am able to walk forward and do what you've called me to do simply because you are my everything, God. And anything else, Lord, and we're saying as a church, Lord, that we will accept no substitute than the real presence of God. And so, Lord, even in this time, we're saying, will the real people of God stand up and take their rightful place in the kingdom of God? Every label has to come off right now in Jesus' name. Some of you have worn labels ever since you were a kid because your parents have said things and just, hey, this is who you're going to be. And the Lord says, I've not said that over you. I'm saying that you will, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Every thought captive in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Because we're living what you've called us to do. Every stronghold broken right now in Jesus' name. Lord, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. So I pray for a fresh anointing on these people, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. A fresh, powerful anointing, God, that will break every yoke that the enemy has tried to put on them. Every single yoke, Lord, that they have tried to put on themselves and they've tried to walk with. And the Bible says, Lord, that we're to cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us, God. And I thank you, Lord, that we're able to break off and out of the enemy's grasp because, Lord, we are being held together by your spirit and by your power. So, Lord, we're thankful for that. And we declare that you are good, God. Why don't you just go ahead and tell the Lord that he's good right there where you are. That you are good, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Somebody's getting free right now. I just feel it in the spirit. Somebody's not going to take this substitute, but just say, Lord, I want everything that you have for me in this season. I'm not going to go into this next season and this next year with the heaviness and bondage. I'm not going to go into it. I feel people getting free right now in Jesus' name. Somebody has said in their mind that this is a night of restoration in Jesus' name. I see and feel like God's restoring marriages even right now. You're getting your mind right about the situation because I think the thoughts of God toward my marriage, Lord. The thoughts of God toward my children. Everything that I've said, Lord, that does not line up with you, we cast it down right now in Jesus' name. Whatever I've spoken, some of you have cursed your own finances. Break that right now in the name of Jesus. We're thankful, Lord, because you are so good. Jesus. We declare, Lord, that we love you. Lord, you're continuing to do great things in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Isn't God good? Amen.